Thanksgiving. I love Thanksgiving. It's the most Christian national holiday we have. Because the Bible tells us in clear, uncertain terms, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will concerning you. Now, I don't want to impugn your motives, but somebody gave me this poem I thought you might enjoy. It's titled, Happy Thanksgiving. You got to smile. 'Twas the night of Thanksgiving, but I could not sleep. Tried counting backwards. I tried counting sheep. The leftovers beckoned, the dark meat in white. But I fought off the temptation with all of my might. Tossed and I turned with sweet anticipation as the thought of snack became infatuation. So I raced to the kitchen, flung open the door, and gazed at the fridge full of goodness galore. Gobbled up turkey and buttered potatoes, pickles and carrots, beans and tomatoes. Felt myself swelling so plump and so round, till all of a sudden I rose off the ground. Crashed through the ceiling, floated into the sky with mouthful of pudding and handful of pie. But I managed to yell as I soared past the trees, happy eating to all. Pass the cranberries, please. May your stuffing be tasty, may your turkey be plump. May your potatoes and gravy have nary a lump. May your yams be delicious, may your pies take the prize. May your Thanksgiving dinner stay off of your thighs. Oh, my. Yeah, love Thanksgiving. But not just because of the good food. Because God has called us to be a people of thanks. Give thanks in everything. For this is the will of God. Why? Because God knows our needs. God knows what will bring us the greatest happiness in life, the greatest joy in life, the greatest satisfaction in life, the least amount of frustration. When we become selfish and are unable to look at how we have been blessed, we get into trouble. I want to suggest a couple of things to you. Things for you to think about. Things for you to pray about. Gratitude, according to the dictionary, is a feeling. I want to emphasize that word. A feeling of thankful appreciation for favors or benefits received without payment or obligation. A warm, appreciative response to kindness. See, gratitude is a heart condition. Gratitude is how we think. We aren't just talking about sending a thank you card for something somebody did that's nice, but it's a feeling. It's beyond that. Let me suggest some areas to you. Some of these won't apply to you, most of them will. For instance, the Bible teaches us that children are to show gratitude to their parents. Some of us, like yours truly, have had our parents pass away. But you know, the Bible makes it clear that when your mother and father are alive, no matter where you are in life, as a Christian, quote unquote, honor thy mother and father, which is the first commandment with promise, Ephesians 6, verses 1 through 3. The word honor here can also be translated to worship. You say, well, my mother was a bum. Well, mine wasn't perfect either. But I'm not perfect either, are you? Honoring a person never stops. And one of the great tragedies of life is a child who realizes they never express their appreciation to their parent, and it's too late. Those of you that are here in the auditorium, on the back of your bulletin, there's the lyrics of a song. For those of you who aren't here in the auditorium, I'll read it to you. Such a beautiful song, one of my favorites. I thought it was a love song, and it's not. David Gates wrote this on the casket of his father. It's called Everything I Own. You sheltered me from harm, kept me warm, kept me warm. You gave my life to me, set me free, set me free. The finest years I ever knew were all the years I had with you. And I would give everything I own just to have you back again. You taught me how to love, what it's of, what it's over. You never said too much, but still you showed the way. And I knew from what you knew, no one could ever know the part of me that can't let go. And I would give everything I own, give up my life, my heart, my home. I would give everything I own just to have you back again. And then David says this to you and me. Is there someone you know? You're loving them so, but taking them all for granted. You may lose them one day. Someone takes them away, and they don't hear the words you long to say. I would give everything I own, give up my life, my heart, my home. I would give everything I own just to have you back again, just to touch you once again. A beautiful song. A heartbreaking picture. And I have seen so many times when I'm in a funeral home and there's a child who is weeping because they never said, I love you, to a dead mother or father. God tells us, give thanks in everything. Jesus is our example on that. John 19, the last thing Jesus did on the earth. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he said to his mother, woman, behold your son. And then he said to the disciple, behold your mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her into his own home. The very last thing Jesus did in the physical form was to take care of his mother. And of course, this is a two-way street. We need to understand the importance of children and the obligation that parents have to show gratitude to their children. There's a classic example of that in Genesis 37, starting with verse 3. The Bible says, now Israel loved Joseph more than all of his children because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a coat of many colors. Yeah, you know that story, don't you? The next verse says, and when his brothers saw their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceable to him. Here's a brother relationship that was contaminated by a father's failure to express love to all his children. He loved his kids, but he didn't show it to his older children. We have to be careful that we don't choose one kid over another. I'm talking to myself here, although it's past date now, but my older daughter came to me at one point and said, Dad, I know you love me, but you spend so much more time with Tim. And I said, yeah, Kathy, I know, but Tim's got problems. And she looked at me with tears coming down her cheeks and said, so do I. Ooh. Yeah. We need to pray about that. We need to understand the importance of saying to our kids, I love you. And letting them know that you love them as much as you do anybody else. I remember one time one of my many moonlight jobs was I was ticket manager at Riley High School. Very sophisticated job. I sat in a folding chair and took money from people coming to athletic events. One time I was working a wrestling match, and the Riley kid was having a tough time, but he was wrestling the guy that became a state champ. And he was holding his own for a while. The father was down cheering his son on. But before the end of the match, the older, more experienced eventual state champion got a hold on the young man that he couldn't get out of, and he was pinned. And as the referee's hand came down on the mat, signifying that the young man had lost, the father jumped up, swore at his son, threw his coat into the crowd, and stomped out of the gymnasium. And do you know that young man never wrestled again? We can break a child, even when they fail, by not expressing our love for them and our thankfulness that they tried. You know, this is also a challenge to all of us who are married. Gratitude between mates is a challenge. Lester Allen used to tell the story of, I don't know whether it was true or not, but I thought it was a wonderful example of something that probably happens about a guy and a woman who were married, and he was always griping about something, just complaining. And the wife was getting pretty sick of it. Every day started with a big to-do. If she scrambled the eggs, he wanted them fried. If she fried the eggs, he wanted them scrambled. So finally, she decided to put a top in the nonsense. She fried a couple, and she scrambled a couple. Set them out there, let him make a choice. You want them fried, you want them scrambled. She was going to eat the one that wasn't what he chose. He sat down and started griping. And that sort of blew her stack. She said, I don't understand what's the matter with you. She said, I know you always have a preference, so I fried one and scrambled the other so we wouldn't have this discussion in the morning. And he looked at her and he said, yeah, but you scrambled the wrong one. I don't know whether that's true or not, but isn't that the way some of us are? I have a friend, Jim Petty, who's a psychologist. He works with marriage counseling, and he tells the story about a woman who came in and said, I want you to help me. And he said, what do you need? She said, well, I decided to divorce my husband. I'm sick of him. But I want to hurt him. I want to make him pay. So what can I do to really hurt him when I walk out with divorce papers? Well, Brother Petty's a wise man. So he said to this one, well, I'll tell you what. He said, what you need to do is you need to make him think he's king of the house. Every time he does the least little thing, you praise him and tell him how important he is and how you can't live without him. Make him think he is the number one thing in your life. And then when you leave him, you'll pull the rug out and you'll really hurt him. He said, okay, that sounds good. I'll do that. Well, he didn't hear from her for a while. And about 6 months later, he was walking down the street in West Chicago where he lived, and he saw the woman on the other side of the street. So he walked over, and he said, hey, I haven't seen you. Did you get your divorce? Did it work? Did you really hurt your husband? And she said, divorce? She said, I'm married to the most wonderful man. And she froze. And then she pointed her finger at him and said, "Brother Petty, you snookered me, didn't you?" That's a Wisconsin term for "you tricked me." Brother Petty said, "You know, one of the problems we have is we don't follow the clear teachings of God's word about how men and women are to treat their husbands and their wives. Let every one of you so love his wife even as himself. And let the wife see that she reverence her husband." Ephesians 5, verse 33. Love is a form of self-gratitude. And sometimes somebody spends money irresponsibly. Sometimes a person becomes abusive simply because they haven't been told how much their wife or their husband loves them. I've had a few counseling situations where infidelity resulted in that. You know, Garth Brooks has a wonderful song, "If Tomorrow Never Comes, Will Your Wife, Your Husband, Know How Much I Loved Her?" The last words that Phyllis heard from me, because of God's admonition, was, "I love you, and I'm thankful for that." The Bible also tells us that we are to show gratitude within the church. Carl was here this morning half an hour early, setting up Zoom. Yesterday he called me three times, working out details so that those of you that are watching on Zoom could see and hear what you couldn't be here to enjoy. And he's done that now for a year. We need to let him know how much we appreciate his service. He was so loaded that this morning he froze up on that first song. He knows that song. But we load, you know, it's called murder in the church. We find somebody who is capable and we load them up until we break them. Paul expressed gratitude to Christians many times. To Phoebe in Romans 16, verses 1 through 3, to Onesiphorus in 2 Timothy 1, beginning with verse 16. These were Christians who were of assistance to Paul. The church of Melita gave thanks to Paul in Acts 28 and verse 10. When we read the qualifications of leadership in the church, we're elders and deacons in 1 Timothy 3. One of the things that we are told is that they are to be gracious leaders. The history of the church has just been the opposite. My experience has been that these days nobody wants their kid to be a preacher. Why? Because we have seen the abuse that preachers get and the lack of appreciation. One of the reasons that I never went full-time ministry is I didn't want to subject myself and my family to that. For a congregation to continue to survive, we need to learn to express appreciation to those who serve, who work. Whether it's somebody working the food pantry, somebody setting up tables for the memorial service. I've noticed since I came in today that somebody had set up all those tables and decorated it for Tina's mother's funeral service. That was Patty, that figures. Patty is one of the most hardworking women I've ever known in my life. But it's important to understand that as a congregation, we survive because we encourage and support those who lead us. And finally, may I suggest to you this morning that we need to learn to show appreciation to God. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Why does God tell us that? Is it because God has some kind of an ego problem? And he says, boy, if these people don't praise me, I'm going to have to take pills for depression. Well, that's kind of silly, isn't it? But one of the things that I have developed over the years is the capacity to look at the beauty around us and thank God to be in a place where there is so much beauty. I live on the St. Joe River. When Phil and I bought that property on the St. Joe River, I told you, you probably just added 15 years to my life. I really think that was true. Every time I'm sitting there at my computer and I look out the window, there's a couple of swans that go sailing by. I have ducks all over the place. Now, there are some negatives. Every now and then I see Denise running around trying to figure out what's poison ivy and what isn't. But there's a lady named Ida Smith, and I don't know where this came from. I have it down as something that she gave me, but I don't know where. But I thought she expressed it well. What do you owe is the title of it. And she says, what do you owe God, you ask? Suppose he sent his bill, $100,000 for the sun upon the hill, $2,000 for the little brook that runs along the way, $500 for the nighttime and $1,000 for the day, $600 for the little birds that chirp and trill and sing, $600 for the teeny flowers that tell us when it's spring. These are bills which every one of us forget. But if God should charge you what you owe, you'd never pay the debt. When you leave here today, look at that rose as you go out. As you drive down the road, look at the gorgeous colors that are still with us. There's lots of red out there still. Tonight, if this cloudiness goes away, look up at that sky. If it doesn't go away, go on your computer to apod.nasa.gov and look at the incredible beauty in space all around us. Thank God. Show appreciation to God. And may I suggest to you that one way we show appreciation in all aspects of our life is by our obedience. You ever have a kid yell back at you? You ever have a kid that refused to do a simple thing you asked him to do? If you've had kids, you probably have. What was your immediate feeling about that incident? Don't you say, wow, I thought that kid loved me. They won't do the simplest thing. And don't you think that God feels the same way? God says, believe. If you don't believe, that's what we're talking about tonight. That's what we are looking at doing in our new series in January, if we do that. God says, repent. That's not some kind of emotional response. That's being sorry for your rejection of all that God has given you and expressing that. Confessing your faith to God and starting a new life, Romans 6. And being baptized for the remission of sins, to wash away the old and to bring in the new. Be a Christian with an attitude of gratitude. And as you celebrate Thanksgiving, be thankful to God to live in a country like this. Yeah, I know there's lots of problems. But you think you've got problems, look at what's happening elsewhere in the world. Be thankful that you live at a time when an epidemic disease is being brought under control. When I called Richard yesterday to see what he needed, he said, "Now I know what it means to feel like a leper." Yeah, he can't go out of the house. He wanted me to go get him a Thanksgiving turkey, which I will do, because they can't go get one. How thankful we need to be that we live in a time when an epidemic, something that Satan has brought upon us, is under control. I've had 2 vaccinations and a booster. I feel great. And if I still contract Satan's tool, there are medical procedures we have developed that make it far less likely that I will succumb to Satan's tool. If you need to respond to God's invitation, we urge you, show your gratitude to God by obeying him. Washing away your sins and beginning a new life. So as we sing together, let's sing about blessing. And if you need to respond and you're here, or if you're on Zoom and you need help, get in touch with us. Let's stand and sing together.